Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. Today, we dive into part two of my conversation with Andrew Warnes on dating. How much should we value relationship advice? What are some scriptures to keep in mind while dating? We discuss all of that and so much more on this week's episode. I'm Tyler Wall, and this is Road Trips. Just transitioning kind of more into you personally here. What is something you wish you knew about dating before you began dating your now wife?
All right. So I was thinking about this, and I think at some point I'm going to become repetitive, but it's kind of going with what I've been thinking about whenever it comes to dating or what I've seen with maybe the people who struggle with dating, whether it's because there's no good candidates out there, they haven't run into them themselves, or I've just seen as I've counseled young men or women, and I've been like, I'm seeing some of the flaws of our culture. And I'm going to be broad here, and it may not be fair, but it feels like the best I could do with this is something that again, I'm going to mention this as well. Like, you're asking a dude who like has had one girlfriend. I'm not saying there wasn't other prospects, there wasn't other crushes, there wasn't even dates, but like, you're talking about someone who really has had one girlfriend. So I'm not great either as the pro or the negative, but I'll try to summarize my small existence or experience with this. And I've run into this, and I think that this was there too, is just male passivity tends to be a hiccup, not always. But you tend to see a guy waiting for a young woman to, you know, maybe send the first text, make the first call, let the other person know if they like him. And that's a broad accusation, not always true, but I've come to run into that a little bit. And I think just being passive, non-proactive, and just being like, you know what, waiting for them to take the first step. And I think as someone who's very secure in their lack of non-macho-ness, as I am, I still think that you don't have to be a manly dude to understand that chivalry and masculinity is something that we should push young men towards. And I'm as old school as it is, I do think that something maybe I struggled with as a guy who wasn't used to it and kind of struggled with it, asking a girl out. Be the one to ask out. It's awkward, it's uncomfortable, but put the first step forward. Be the one to initiate conversations that are serious and good and helpful. We're going to have a caveat about that here in a little bit, but I think on principle, those are things that I wish I had taken to heart a little bit more. And I asked my wife about this on the reverse side, and she said kind of with that too, it's kind of just being stable in a relationship with someone who's not taking it seriously. Someone who is just, who just checks in on you whenever they want attention, whenever they want a text, and just treating it like, again, a boy who's non-committed. And again, this is done with a balance of, I don't think you getting into dating is committing you to that person for life, but it's taking it as what it ought to be, which is it should be something that drives you towards marriage. And if it's not, then you're not committed to that person, but I don't think you need to stay in there. And so my advice would be that if you do know that this isn't going anywhere and you can sense that and the other person is not treating this, because it's very easy to swap this out. I have heard of women who do not take it seriously. And regardless of what it is, like, be assertive in the ways that you ought to be. And so that's kind of the one I had thought of that I wish I had learned and took to heart whenever I was younger.
Yeah, and I think it's good to share those perspectives. And I think it's good to share some things of, hey, here's something that I wish I did. Maybe that can help and encourage someone else. So I like that. So let's flip the script here. And I want to ask, what is something you did right while you were dating that might be able to help someone else?
Okay, so this is something, it's kind of taking this is where we're doing the yin and the yang. I'm kind of going slight reverse here and kind of going towards that cautionary, not cautionary, but that like, hey, this isn't long-term marriage. And I discussed this with my wife and I asked a buddy some advice that they thought of too. And this is where this is going to go. And I may mention this again later. But something my wife and I did right that whenever we started dating is we did take it slow while taking it seriously. And we just got to know each other. I'm going to use an example of there's times when some of my buddies, or maybe I even had tried in my own incompetent way, like you kind of wanted to impress the first date or two and maybe go all out. Maybe you're someone who like wants to spend $200 on the first date. Maybe you're someone who wants to do like the coolest thing. You like fill it with a bunch of stuff. And one of the things that we valued that just kind of worked, and I think it was kind of our place in life. We were 23, about to turn 24 in my case, was like we just talked. We just enjoyed each other's company. If we did an activity, whether you know you think of something like putt-putt or something, it was minimal, but we went to ice cream booths or coffee and we just sat down and talked because it was something, again, we were like, let's not rush this process. Let's just enjoy each other's company. Let's not take this seriously, but let's be serious about this. And so that imperfect balance was something that right time. That's why I believe God intervened in my relationship, because it just was, I think if we had met each other the year before, it wasn't exactly great for either of us. And so God worked in our life and we were just at that place where we were kind of mature and we took it slow. We had serious conversations, but we just had fun and we didn't take it overly seriously. So again, that's the imperfect balance there once again.
Yeah, I know. This whole conversation is making me think of how much balancing, it's like, it's this, but it's not too much of this. Yeah. So don't be too much of this, but also don't do this. So yeah. It's just kind of funny, but
don't be a child about it, but don't be too boring.
Yeah. just be perfect. No.
Just never mess up.
Ever. I love that phrase, slow but serious. I think just having fun, I think we kind of forget that. You hear all the time, like, dating and marriage is hard. It is work. It is tough. But it's like, okay, but is it fun? I mean, should we have fun? Should we laugh? And what you're saying is like, yes, have fun, you know, play mini golf, watch movies, that kind of thing. And, that's good. I've always thought, not always, I've just kind of started realizing this, that I think it's good to have someone. This is kind of something you try to notice while you're dating to see whether this person would be a good fit for marriage or not. If you can like dress up and go out to a nice restaurant, go watch a movie, go out essentially. If you can do that and have a great time, but then also if you can just sit on the swing on the back porch and just talk, and that also be a great time, then yeah, I think that you've kind of found a very compatible person.
It's the mullet routine. Business in the front, you know? A lot of fun in the back.
That's the Altus, Oklahoma coming out of you right there. But that's something I kind of realized. I was like, oh, going out's fun, but also staying in's fun. Oh, everything's fun. This is great. Mm. So I really like what you said, serious but slow. I like that. So the next question, I kind of want to switch gears a little bit. This is also, I didn't really know how to word this. So hopefully it made sense. I mentioned you gave me great advice. I had the advice of some really great people and they gave some really good advice, but we all live our own lives. And so how much should we value that good advice and thoughts of others when it comes to who and how we should date? Like, how much should we value relationship advice?
Who's, you know, well, the buck stops with you. So who dictates the decisions? And I think that that's good. And it is maybe a broader question towards your mentorship question, which was very, again, I would encourage listeners to go back. For me, it was this past episode. I'm not sure what it'll be in chronological form, but it was a great discussion on mentorship.
Appreciate it.
And it was like, and that's, I think, a conversation to that, because there is this level of, I don't think we want to have someone super domineering. We kind of don't like to share it's kind of this idea of, is the person I'm interested in, as well as myself, susceptible to wisdom? Because I think we ought to be. I think we ought to be more transparent in our relationships. I think we ought to share with those we trust and who are advisors. I think we have to open up about the uncomfortable, challenging conversations and be willing to invite people into our lives and our existence in order to, like, it's one of those things, like, it's like discipline, where it's like it doesn't feel great at the moment. And we're out of practice of it with a society. We just are closed nature. We don't like to share of ourselves too much. But if we're willing to, I think that it is always best to have that individual in your corner. So with that, I say this as a slight caveat for you, you know, like for a listener, maybe it is like your parent or your sibling or your bro or your gal on your corner is very opinionated, is going to give you some advice. I think that that's normal. I think that that's fair. I think it's a balance of this is, first off, you know, like if you are sharing someone else's experience, it's like, you know, be a trustworthy boyfriend, girlfriend, but also understand that all relationships need and demand and crave outward wisdom. And I think that that's so important. So maybe it is kind of more of a third party situation. Maybe it is someone who is more of a mentorship figure, whether it's a someone, spiritual advisor you've set yourself up with at some point. Maybe it is a preacher, a teacher. Again, someone who's just a mentorship figure. And I think something that will be helpful with anyone in life is someone who steers you towards conversation, steers you towards wisdom, helps you work through challenges yourself. Maybe you have a question. Maybe there's something that's come up. Maybe you've had a fight with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and they're willing to play third party and help maneuver it with, and to say this is to be very delicate with their absolutes of saying, this is what you ought to do. This, you should break up with this person. You should talk to that person's boss yourself, because that their boss is being terrible. Talk to, like, and it's like they're very delicate or very protective of giving you strong, this is what you ought to do in this situation. And if they do that, and this is someone who you trust, and this is someone who has proven themselves reliable, then maybe you should take it seriously. Because if this person has your best interest in heart and they're telling you, man, you are too immature to be in a relationship right now, or this person is not a good setup for you, that's going to be up to you based off of your relationship with this mentor figure. And being like, hey, like, they would not give me this absolute line in the sand if it wasn't really significant. It's going to be the groundwork up until that point to see if you've been someone who's been humble, if this is someone who is trustworthy and someone who is worthy to listen to their advice. So I'm using more broad strokes with this, but I hope that that makes sense, that find someone you trust, listen to them. And I think that if they are trustworthy, they will be someone who isn't just going to tell you how to live your life. They're going to give you guiding principles in your future dating and your future relations, and perhaps, Lord willing, your future marriage. And if they give you a harsh absolute, take it seriously if they've proven themselves in that area.
I like that. And that's something I always appreciated about your advice, is that it never felt like you would say, this is what you should do. I think helpful phrases like, well, I did this and you can see if this works for you, or pose it almost like a question, if you were saying, or helpful suggestions. And then down the road, like you were saying, as you develop that relationship with that other person, with that third party who's removed from the situation, if they do say something that's a little more absolute, if you trust that person enough, then perhaps you should consider what they're saying and pray about it and really, really think about it and take that to heart. So I really like
weird to, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, it's kind of weird to admit, but I was kind of held off in some of my relationships with my family, immediate family. And it was a sibling who I did trust, who was kind of could tell that there was one particular person I was talking to for a little stretch of time, and as supportive as possible. And then they just came to a point where they could tell from what I was saying that I was not happy and it was not going in a mutual place. And they're the ones who are like, it sounds like this ain't working, is it? And it's funny that in that moment, it helped me clarify for myself, because I knew that they weren't domineering in their advice, but considerate of my circumstances and willing to say what I knew to be true for myself, that helped me make a decision for myself. So, sorry.
Yeah. For sure. That's. And that's something that I think needs to be said too, is sometimes people you can only beat around the bush so much, right? Yeah. Sometimes things just need to be said. And, if, like you were saying, if you've got that humility to admit that, okay, they're right, I've been wrong about something and they're right, I need to do this thing. So I think that that's, and then again, it just goes back to balance, like take what they say, but also
live out wisdom. It's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. So I like that. I like what you said there. So we mentioned that dating isn't really something you find in scripture, but what are some scriptures that perhaps we can keep in mind as we date?
All right, I'm going to use three of the cautionary ones you kind of think of with the challenges of maneuvering through relationships, especially as a young man or woman. And one of the ones I go to often is 2 Timothy 2:22. It says, so flee youthful passions, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And I think that that's something I would always advise in every decision for a young man or woman, is to flee youthful passions, and understanding that dating and being romantically involved with another person who you're attracted to can lead towards some decisions that won't bless either of you. So be cautious. And with that, I have these two verses that are used quite often, kind of used out of their context, but still it's hard for me not to apply with the most important, or at least potentially the most important relationship you could ever have. And that first one is Amos 3:3. Or it says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet, demonstrating that I think you need to be in compatible lifestyles and compatible faiths in order to be considering strongly this person as your future spouse. From there, it's 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? This isn't going to be a broad strokes, never date someone who's not a Christian or attends the same church as you. That's another conversation for another time, but it's still a guiding principle as far as this is the person potentially you will be living with your entire life, sharing everything with in life, and raising your children with. And if this person does not love Jesus in the way that they ought to, in the way that you do, it's hard for me to understand how that is going to be something that blesses you in the long run by rejecting, I feel like, some pretty foundational wisdom. So those are the cautionary ones, but I'm going to use some positive ones, which is actually leaning towards what you opened us up with, which is the guiding principles of Ephesians 5 or Colossians 3. And within that, I think that you find texts that deal with marriage, but I like how both of them, Colossians 3, 12 through 16, and then Ephesians 5 verses 5 through 21, are all about Jesus living out a way that, knowing that you are a follower of Jesus. And I think it's interesting that just principles on living your life and being grounded in your faith and growing as a man or woman after God and maturing towards that and just becoming a well-rounded human being. Those things, like, again, at the risk of bending scripture to meet my needs, those just naturally lead into texts on marriage and principles on marriage. So maybe we just owe it to ourselves to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus in a mature man or woman driven by the Spirit first, and the marriage principles come to follow. I'm just going to read one text from each. Colossians 3:12 says, put on then as God's chosen ones, those who are holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. He goes on to say much more, but for the sake of time, Ephesians 5:15 and following, it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And again, again, maybe I'm drawing a comparison here that's not necessarily there, but Paul says, you know what? These things, living wisely, putting on the characteristics of Jesus, those things organically just lead into foundations on script or foundations on marriage. So those are the texts that jump out to me.
You're so right. And I think I said this at camp when I was talking about singleness, was get relationship advice, but also you don't have to, because if you're striving to become like Jesus and you're following his word and you're trying to follow these passages that you mentioned, then that's going to naturally just spill in to your dating life.
You know, if you worked on being a kind person, you're probably going to be a kind person in your relationships.
What a concept. Yeah. What a concept. I mean, you can read all the books, listen to all the podcasts. I hope people listen to
our
podcast.
Listening but... to the podcast. Heavens.
But at the end of the day, if we follow what we find in scripture, then that's all we need. And so I think that those are really good thoughts there and scriptures from there, that any passage we read that's about becoming more like Jesus or any one another passage, you can really apply that to dating. Probably not all, but most. you can apply that to dating. And so I think that that's really good. And I appreciate the ones there that you mentioned. So last question here, to close out, you've given a lot of good, just practical advice here, but if you have anything else, what are some practical steps that we can take on being a good boyfriend/girlfriend?
Cool. No, that's great. So this is more practical in a sense that I'm going to summarize some of the stuff I've gone through. So if I kind of speed through it, that's kind of why. And I'll be honest, I looked at this from the sense of like the dating process more than the individual boyfriend or girlfriend, but I think it goes with it as well. And the first one's pretty generic, and it's the intro process. And I don't think it's bad. Date someone you're attracted to. Like, ask someone out who you're attracted to, and knowing the cliche that's it's only skin deep, like, you know, like, this isn't something that it matters the most, but there's nothing wrong with saying, I want to be attracted to the person I'm dating. And if you do that, here's my second thing, be assertive. Like, again, like, go out and ask the person out. My recommendation is for guys, if you got the first step forward, I think that that's props. But at the same time, I've known there are a lot of really good relationships that are all based off of a young woman asking a guy out. And so just be assertive, see where it goes. And here's my next deal, especially since I've talked about how serious it is. I don't know how else to say it except what has been said to me or I've read multiple times. Don't be weird. You know, like, it is serious. Like, you should understand that dating is with the ambition of marrying someone, and if you know you're not going to marry that person, you have no intentions, then you should have broke up pretty much already. But at the same time, like, don't be weird about it. Like, date one, maybe don't say you love them. Date two, don't ask them if they're gonna like bear your children. Like, it's okay to just be not weird. And just
God told me you were gonna be my wife.
God told me, right?
Yeah,
you know,
none of that.
I heard that calling. So just don't be weird and take it slow and have fun. And that kind of comes with this, is get to know them, you know, become friends first. Like, that's just so crucial. Again, it's serious. Take it semi-unseriously. Be friends first. Grow in understanding each other. Build that relationship, and the rest, I believe, will follow. I've got kind of a here, kind of like, this sounds so silly, and there's not a great way to do it. It was in my mind because just how I am as a person and how my head works, but I guess this is what I was going to say is understand that a relationship that leads towards a fruitful marriage should have some sort of rough outline of what should transpire. And I think if you're a logical, mature young man or woman, you will do these things, whether it's organic or not. I'm not saying this has to be mechanical, has to be followed to a T, but like, here are a few things. Every couple weeks, especially the beginning, every 3 weeks, do the, what do they say? It's the RTD, or DTR, determine the relationship. Like, especially like props to dudes, like be the one to push that first. Like, and if not, that's okay. I know some great women who said like, hey, I like you, but where is this going? At some point, be the one to step out and say, where is this going? And there's a positive way to do this, especially guys say, hey, where do you see this relationship going? Because to be honest with you, I like you and I like where this is going. And I just want to make sure we're on the same page. There's a positive way to have that conversation without it being this crucial, challenging thing. You know, figure out what the timeline's going to be whenever you're going to ask them to be your boyfriend or girlfriend, right? You know, understand that, let them know that you love them at some point. I've got my brother, like, great dude. He told his girlfriend when they were dating for 1 week he loved her. I would argue that's pretty early, but you know what? They're married with 4 children. So I would venture to say that's a little further down. But, you know, understand that, do that. And once you realize you love this person, share it with them. So know that that's something. And then I think at some point you need to trust them with your past or your baggage. You need to see if you guys are compatible as a couple. And it's okay. That comes back to that conversation about the imperfections you both bring. Understand that sometimes you don't need to carry each other's baggage, or you just can't do that. But that's where that conversation comes in. Again, I don't have a timeline for you, but this conversation needs to come up at some point, a month, two, I don't know. You know, again, don't make it weird. Don't have that week too, right? And then at some point, have the important conversation about your non-negotiables because in theory, what I'm describing here is based a little bit off of what I've done in my relationship. But, you know, I think it's just important to say that if you are a mature woman or a mature man and you are a Jesus follower, you're taking this relationship seriously, and you need to see if you guys are compatible as candidates for marriage for each other. And it's okay. Again, I'm going to emphasize this. That's why I love the story of Ruth and Boaz, is I love that they respected each other, dare I say even liked each other, and they were still willing to say, our way of life may be incompatible. We'll make this 21st century American. Like, we may have different dreams. We may be going to different paths, and we need to see if we will work. And I think that kind of self-centeredness can get taken too extreme in modern culture. However, it's still just a component. Like, have that conversation. See where you can work on. See what's actually negotiable or not, because every relationship requires give and take, right? You're not going to, you know, do everything that you ever wanted unless it's God honoring. And see where you're at. And then from there, I'm prefacing this with, like, guess what, guys? I don't think that you should be in a romantic relationship if you're not taking the possibility of marriage semi-seriously. Like, if you're not, I just think you're sort of wasting your time, and maybe you need to grow into the man or woman you ought to be in Jesus Christ first. And once you do that, and you start seeing the other man or woman as someone worthy of that kind of respect and honor, then again, I'm giving you the steps to getting proposed, I suppose, what I'm saying. But I hope that that's a little bit of it doesn't have to be as mechanical or as outlined. But I think that those are some things you need to be taking seriously, and you can have a running thing in your head. And again, it can be 2 months. It could be 2 years. It doesn't really matter. But hopefully those are some practical steps.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are all really good things. Andrew? Said a lot of good stuff, gave some great advice, as I knew that you would. So I really appreciate you coming back on the show.
Always the inaugural guest. It's been a while since I've been in the car, but I love it here. Thanks for inviting me again, sir.
Yeah. Well, hope I'm a good driver. You know, we'll see. That's up to debate. It depends on who you ask. So, all right. Thanks for coming on, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.